Let's just look to the Lord. Dear God, we do thank you now for this time as we look into your word, that you'd open our minds, open our hearts, open our reasoning of the scriptures. May we mature in the word of God. Help us to be released from any stagnant routine we may be in, any traditional views we may have. May your Holy Spirit speak to us as we look at this passage today in the word of God. May it strengthen us in our future for the kingdom of God. May it strengthen us in our lives with you, in our quiet time with you. And may we just be stretched today in the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to look at the most controversial passage in the word of God. There have been various interpretations by scholars over 2,000 years regarding this passage. It's the passage of the rich young ruler. Some say that the rich young ruler is seeking eternal life, and he could not require it because he fell short of keeping the commandment. Other scholars would say that he was phony. He was a self-righteous individual and was arrogant with the Lord in his dealing with him. And then there are those who would say that his love for money, his greed, is what kept him from going to heaven. The controversy goes on through the years, and the ink is still on the papers and the books, and the sermons are still spoken. And still all continue to have different opinions and a wide range of interpretations regarding the rich young ruler. Today, this is a 10-hour study. So we're going to try to do it in 25 minutes. So it's a summary. It's found in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. We'll look at Mark's version today. You'll be in Mark 10, 13. But before we look at this controversial passage, I want to give us a couple points here. Some hermeneutical points to approach the passage. One good thing to learn in hermeneutics, which is biblical interpretation of the Bible, is there is one interpretation of scriptures. There are many applications of scriptures. One interpretation of scriptures, many application of scriptures. The second thing I want you to keep in mind is never take an obscure passage to contradict several clear passages. That is called the illegitimate totality transfer. That is when you take a passage of Scripture and force it into another text in order to comfort your theological view. And that's what I think happens over the 2,000 years of the rich young ruler. I checked Speed's Bible today and the commentary written in it. I'm sure it was a traditional view, of course. Covered all three views I just said. So let's look into this passage in Mark chapter 10 for the next 25 minutes. And I'm going to start reading in verse 13. To get a context of this passage. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little one will by no means enter into the kingdom." And he took them up in his arms, he laid hands on them, and he blessed them. This is what you call an ecclesio in the Bible. An ecclesio is biblical bracketing to connect a phrase or a word of Scripture, usually from the beginning to the end. It's bracketing, enveloping. It's also known as bookends. So the end of this passage, it says, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." That is the end of the ecclesio. To grab hold of this particular section of Scripture, which they use ecclesios all the time in the Bible, but especially here. So it's interesting that these little children are of such of the kingdom of heaven. Well, what does that mean? Well, what that means in ancient Middle Eastern times, little children had no status. They were just children. And Jesus is saying in the beginning of the ecclesio that there is such as the kingdom of God, and unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God. But what does that word mean, enter the kingdom of God? In the beginning of this ecclesio, it is talking about a status, quo. And it's referring to little children who have no status. They don't even have any today. Can you get those kids out of here? But Jesus says, there's a such of the kingdom of God, and unless you be... receive the kingdom. What does that mean, to receive the kingdom? Well, it means to receive it in a victorious manner. It seems to me that this entering the kingdom as a child is the way a person enters the kingdom. It's not a soteriological view here. It is a status. It is a position. And it says in the end of the ecclesio that the last shall be the first, and the first shall be the last. So that ties in the bookends. We see the person of no status becomes the first in the kingdom. And the person of great stature and status becomes the least in the kingdom. Let's keep that in mind as we look now into the most controversial passage in the Bible, the rich young ruler. Now, as I said earlier, commentators say he was arrogant, self-righteous, as he approached Jesus of Nazareth. Others say that he fell short of the commandments of God and he didn't make it to heaven. So it seems to me that the soteriological view that most scholars and interpreters hold to, they commit the problem of messing up discipleship, cross-bearing, with simple justification before God. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running. Jesus has finished this little sermon there with the children. Now he's leaving, and this guy comes running. Got to underline these words. It's interesting, Mark says, and knelt before him. That doesn't sound too arrogant to me. This is a highly sophisticated man. And he asked him, good teacher. Doesn't sound like he's being arrogantly disrespectful. That word, good teacher, is in a high reverence. What shall I do that I might inherit? Mark and Luke use the word inherit. Eternal life. Matthew uses the word obtain. They are parallel concepts, we see. What must I do to inherit eternal life? As he's kneeling before him, it shows great respect. Now, eternal life and the commandments, we know, is a way of life. If you, Proverbs 4:4, keep the commandments and you will have life. Proverbs 7:2, keep the commandments and you will have life. Leviticus, keep the commandments as the apple of your eye, and you shall have rain in due season and harvests in your crops. John 17, we read this morning, Jesus said this, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and whom you sent, Jesus Christ. That they may know you. So Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? What an interesting way to answer a question. For there is no one good but God. Grab a hold of that. Why do you call me good? There's no one good but God. Jesus says to him, he doesn't say, well, you're a self-righteous guy. He says, you know the commandments. See, you got to remember something about the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was a known guy. You know the commandments, he says. Do not commit adultery. Has anybody in this room committed adultery according to the commandments? Probably not. According to Jesus' commandments, probably. If you look at another woman in your heart with lust, you've committed adultery. Do not murder. Well, you probably haven't murdered anybody according to the commandments, but Jesus fulfilled the law. He who hates his brother without a cause has committed murder. Anybody in here ever done that? See, it's very important that we look at this text in the manner of interpreters who have railroaded the rich young ruler for many years, saying he's very arrogant, self-righteous, he loves his money. Couldn't keep the commandments. People need to be very careful when they talk about people in the Word of God. For you will give an account of every idle word, Jesus says. I'm glad I don't have any ink on the papers for people to read. Do not steal. Well, I'm guilty of all three of these so far. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Well, I just read a commentary this morning that bared false witness against the rich young ruler today. He's accountable to the Lord, whoever wrote that theologian, that scholar, whether he knows it or not. He bared false witness against thy neighbor. You better be very careful when you pen something down against especially somebody in the Word of God. Do not defraud somebody. That's an interesting one. Do not defraud somebody. Do not scam them out of anything. Here's one that we all fall short of. And honor your father and mother. So everybody in this room right now is guilty of that one. I can guarantee it. That's probably the hardest one. Honor your mother and father. That doesn't mean when you feel like it. That means constantly. Check this out. And the rich young ruler answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." Do people that interpret the Bible not read that section right there? And what does it say? Jesus said, "Listen, you self-righteous guy, who do you think you're talking to? I know you. I know what you've done." Does he say that? No, he does not say that. He's like, "Come on, man, you haven't quite kept all these commandments, have you?" No, he doesn't say that either. This is what Jesus says. And looking on him, he loved him. That ought to make somebody very nervous about writing something derogatory about the rich young ruler. Looking on him, he loved him. And he said to him this: "One thing you lack. One thing you lack." Okay, I'm glad I'm not the rich young ruler, because I wouldn't have got that far. So here's a guy who can stand in front of God and say, "I've kept all the commandments you just required." And he does not rebuke him. Remember, there's people standing around. He says this: "I agree with you. And I love you. Because you truly seek me. You truly love me. I know you. You're a self-proclaimed guy. You are a very sophisticated man. You are probably the civic leader of this entire area. And you're a very devoted man to religion. Yes, you are." John knew him. It's a good study on John, the writer John. His father was a very rich businessman, Zebedee. Do a study on John. Interesting, you know how John was very well, his father and family were influential, that when Jesus was crucified, John was in the high priest's house and let Peter in. Well, you just don't go show up at the high priest's house after, especially a crucifixion. You got to know them very well. John was a sophisticated, his father was a sophisticated businessman, owned many fishing lots, but that's all we know. John knows who this guy is, his father knows. He's a ruler. "One thing you lack," he says. Well, you would think that he would say to him, Like he said, old Nicodemus in John chapter 3, another rich ruler that came to him at night for fear of the Jews. I want you to notice something about this guy when the commentators say that he's disrespectful. He came in the daytime, risking his position as a high authority and bowing the knee to Jesus in broad daylight, where Nicodemus came at night. That's why we call him Nick at Night. Just a little joke for you. So he shows complete reverence. One thing you do lack. Go your way and sell everything you have. How many in here can do that? Let's find out really what the rich young ruler passage is about. Go sell all you own. And then he doesn't stop there, he says. And take up your cross and follow me. The ecclesio in the body of the passage now is starting to make a little bit more sense, hopefully. It doesn't say that go sell some of the possessions that you don't care about and you will inherit eternal life. He says sell all you have and take up your cross and follow me. And it says this, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, none of us have really been put on that particular stage in life, but have we? It's a difficult way, Jesus said, that leads to life. What is this inherent life? Jesus is trying to teach him the experience of eternal life in the present moment. He who believes in me has everlasting life. I have come to you that you may have life, that you may have it more abundantly. Paul, once he was converted, would say these words, "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." He's one that says, "I have left all things too, Paul, for the excellency of Christ." Paul was a Pharisee too. But Paul made the decision to bear his cross, as the rich young ruler counted the cost and said, "I can't do that. I can't do that." What about you? What about me? Well, can we do it? Well, that's between us and God, isn't it? Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" And his disciples were astonished at these words. To enter into the kingdom of God. Keeping in mind the ecclesio, that little children, theirs is the kingdom of God. And unless one receives the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter into the kingdom. He shall not enter the kingdom in victorious manner. As Paul would say, "There is laid up for me a crown Those who suffer with Christ, Paul writes, shall reign with Him. Well, those who don't, don't. It's the B side of the record. You suffer, you reign. You don't, you don't. Christian is a word that is derogatory in the Bible. It means a follower of Christ. Pick up your cross and follow me. It's a clone. It's a chameleon. It's not 1 foot in and 1 foot out. It can be. Not in this context of passage, it's not. Again, he said to them, children. He calls them children now. Do you find that interesting? He calls the disciples children. How hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? Not for eternal salvation. It's not in a soteriological view. It's in to enter the kingdom properly. Children, he calls them. Sounds like the beginning of the Ecclesia to me. Talking to his disciples. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of commentaries I've read over the years really went off track on this one. They got this camel bowing down, going through the arch of the city and all that stuff. That all makes for a great commentary, but I just don't think it makes any sense. To me, it's a metaphor. It's a joke. And it means something more like this in my particular reading. How hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Well, you have a better chance than the Queen of Elizabeth coming over for dinner tonight than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God victoriously. Makes more sense to me that way. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? That's the word sozo. It has lots of meanings, the word sozo. It's not in a soteriological context right now. Who then can be delivered? Who then can be rescued? Who then can be healed? Who then can make it to this kingdom that you're talking about? We know that guy. That guy's a moral, outstanding guy. He's a civic leader. Full of piety. But Jesus looked on them and said this, with men it is impossible, but with God... For with God, all things are possible. That's interesting. That would come to their conclusion a little later in life, wouldn't it? Jesus has been crucified. They've all forsaken Him. They go back to fishing, like we would do. And Jesus comes on the shore and says this, children, you caught any lunch? No. We have it. Well, put your net on the other side. Well, we've been fishing all night, professional fishermen. Put your net on the other side, and they couldn't draw it in, and Peter jumps out of the boat naked and swims to Jesus and says, Lord. And he says these words, without me, you can do nothing. What's impossible with man is not possible. I'm sure that light went on in their head as soon as he said that. Without me, you can do nothing. They remembered the story. They remembered the time they were standing on the road with the rich man. Then Peter says this, okay, he's their spokesman. See, we have left all and followed you. Well, he calls them children. But theirs is the kingdom of God. They're cross bearers already. They made the decision to leave the family. John left the family business. James left the family business that would have been inherited to them by their dad, Zebedee. And the other one, Matthew, was an accountant. Sure, he was making serious cash. Peter says, we left everything. Jesus says, as assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brother or sister, father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who shall not receive a hundredfold now and in this time. I want to touch on 21 one more time. He says this. This is a very important passage. Sell whatever you have, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then take up your cross and follow me. I forgot to mention that part. So he says, sell what you have, and you will have treasures in heaven. And then take up your cross and follow me. He does not say, sell what you have, and you will inherit eternal life. He says, you will have treasures in heaven. Jesus said to store your treasures in heaven. Along the same lines of this. So, those who forsake all things, he says, will experience a hundredfold now and in this time. Experience a hundredfold. Experience eternal life in this side of the glory. And then he goes on in mothers and children and lands with persecution. If you suffer for me, you will reign with me. And in the age to come, eternal life. In its fullness, eternal life. Who are first will be last, the end of the ecclesial. And the last shall be first. The rich man had to become like a child and strip his facade of all of his honor, all of his glory, all of his riches, in order to become fully, to receive the kingdom of God a hundredfold, as Peter and the rest will. For he says unto them, you will be sitting in glory, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what he says to them. You will see me in my glory, Peter, and the rest of you guys, for leaving everything for me. And you will see me in my glory, and you in glory will be judging the 12 tribes through eternity. You will be a reigner. You will experience eternal life victoriously as I was, and as I have, and as I will. You will enter into the kingdom of God in the status of a child. The last will be first. The first will be last. You have forsaken all for me. To have the attitude as a child and surrender all is to take the cross of Christ and follow Jesus. You have to have the mindset of a slave. It's interesting, I went to look this verse up and I popped my little phone Bible and it was the verse I was looking up. You have to have the mindset. Jesus is trying to teach these guys, us and future people, to have this mindset. Remember, the rich young ruler is in the context. And people have left all things. to inherit the kingdom of God. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave, and coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, as Pilate commanded him to bear his cross. You and I and this rich man and all others are compelled to bear our cross for Christ. That is a Christian, a follower of Christ. We can go through this Christian life, as Jesus is teaching, as our example of this rich young ruler, and we can back out of these particular afflictions that are for the cause of Christ. That is our choice. But if you want to receive, inherit the eternal life to the fullest extent, you can't do it our way. He is the example of all cross bearers. You can't humble yourself more than he did. You can't strip your facade of riches more than he did. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, here he is in heaven now. Here he is as the cross bearer. He is the man, Christ Jesus, now, the representative of Adam. And here's what happens to him when he gets back into heaven after his death. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow on the things of the earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's his exaltation. And we read earlier this morning in the morning meeting, that is the same exaltation you can receive and I can receive from the Master, from the King, from the Anointed One. But it takes losing your life. Life is short. What is done for ourselves will pass. What is done for Jesus will eternally last. It seems to me the rich young ruler is an Old Testament saint who believed in the coming Messiah. He followed the commandments. He was loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but chose the broad way when it came down to where the rubber meets the road of bearing his cross. Daily. Remember the cost for bearing your cross daily, Jesus said. Unless you bear your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. What does Paul say? I crucify myself daily. It's not that I live. It's Christ that lives in me. I have count all things dung for the excellency of Christ. I am content no matter what he says in Christ Jesus through his suffering. In all circumstances, Paul was content. I think the rich young ruler myself, think he was an Old Testament believer who believed in the coming Messiah. He did not experience eternal life in its full potential, like many do. He won't receive probably the inheritance as Jesus is talking about here. You shall have treasures in heaven. Probably will not hear those words Jesus talked about in this parable, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will make you a ruler in the kingdom. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I have come that they might have eternal life, and their joy may be full. John would write later on in 1 John, reflecting on the Lord Jesus Christ and having the joy of the Lord as the Holy Spirit came onto him. And he has become an apostle now, one who took over the ministry of Christ. And he's the one who is going to teach us. In 1 John, John writes this as we close. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Christ Jesus. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Well, that's my take on the rich young ruler today. No matter what other writers think, maybe I'm wrong. But if I'm right, we need to surrender ourselves to the Lord and his cross. It's a very serious situation we're in right now. We're bound, one of us in this room is bound to be the next one to step through the veil. And we want to hear the words the Lord Jesus promised to us who take their cross and follow me. We want to have treasures in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've counted the cost. And you've been faithful with those few things. Now I will make you a ruler over many. You are exalted highly into the same position as me. And now you can have complete harmony with me, the Father, and the Son. You've entered now into the rest of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you for this section in this controversial passage in the Bible of this young man who people slander with ink, who you loved, who's just an ordinary guy like us. Actually, he's probably a lot better than a lot of us in this room. We give you thanks for the Lord Jesus. And we give you thanks for the free gift of eternal life. As he said to Nicodemus, he who believes in me has everlasting life. But he said to him, go sell what you have. Keep the commandments. He wasn't talking about being justified. He was talking about the full experience of eternal life. And you shall have treasures in heaven. We ask you for a blessing now on our food downstairs, our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.